All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be back with you. Will you please stand for the reading of God's word? John, chapter 8, verse 34 through 36. Let's read off the screen. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." It's the word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it is so refreshing to be back with you guys. Every time I get a chance to speak, I love it. I love when Pastor Gene asks me. And so here I am today. I think he's in Minneapolis, Minnesota or something like that. I saw him on Facebook, but it doesn't matter. God bless him. Whatever he's doing. Praying for Bonnie also as well. She's going through some medical issues right now, so keep them in your prayers. Today my sermon is entitled, "Are You Free?" You'll find, I think in the bulletin they have a little note thing if you're keeping notes today. Are you free? Today we're going to dive in right into these three verses here, see what Jesus has for us. The three kind of things we're going to cover today is going to be a problem. What's the cause of that problem, and what's the solution that Jesus has for us in Scripture? Because I think a lot of times in our Christian walk, we can this is sad to say, but we can be saved but not free. We can be saved but not free. But before we go any further, let's pray and then we'll dig into it. God, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that's among us right now, God. I pray that you would work in people's hearts today as I attempt to deliver this word that you've given me. God, I pray that you would convict us of our sin. Where we fall short, God, I pray that you would bring that to light so you may be strong in us, God, so we could be set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get started. We're just going to dive right in. It's going to be very much just kind of reading it and going off of it. So let's jump right in. John chapter 8, verse 34. I'm going to be reading from my version. I like it better. So, verse 34. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth." Now, let's stop there. Jesus replied. So that's one. If we're going to give any credibility here, it's Jesus, right? It's Jesus, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. It's Jesus. We should probably listen to him. But if you weren't going to listen to him, he says, "I tell you the truth." So one, he says, I'm the Son of the living God, and I'm also telling you the truth here. So we should probably perk our ears up a little bit and listen. He says, "I tell you the truth." Now before we go any further, what kind of truth is he talking about? Well, earlier in the passage, if you guys are familiar with the phrase, it says, "You shall hear the truth, and the truth shall make you free," shall set you free. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's referencing, what is this truth that sets us free? And this passage right here, he's getting ready to go into, this is the truth, this is the gospel he's getting ready to go to. So, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Okay, so everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So we must ask ourselves, who in this world sins? Or should ask ourselves, who doesn't sin? That's the real question. The only person was Jesus, right? And so, we see this here in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So we know that everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. And as Randy just said, we all sin. Everybody does it, you know? And so the way Jesus words this here, you could say, you know, he says, everyone who sins. Well, that kind of leaves kind of an implication that maybe there aren't people who sin. But we know that there aren't. Everybody sins. Everybody does. So when we read this verse here, we can almost play with the words of Jesus, which is very dangerous, but surely God will strike me with a lightning bolt for doing it. Verse 34, you know, he says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." We can change it to say, "Everyone is a slave of sin," because everyone sins. You get what I'm saying? Everybody sins, so everyone is a slave of sin. So everyone's a slave of sin. Let's go from that point. We need to kind of shift our view of sin in this context. Because I think a lot of times in the church, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, I go back and forth between it, but I don't think it's right or wrong. But the way we think about sin is little individual bad things that we do. We think of sin as little individual, here's the way God has set things. Anything I do outside of that, that's a sin. It's a singular thing. But rather, Jesus is referencing sin here not as an individual act, but as an overarching, dark spiritual force that is holding humanity down. A force, a spiritual. John in 1 John would call it the spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit that's holding all of humanity down. It's the spirit of sin. And so Jesus says, anyone who puts themselves under that, who puts themselves in that by sinning, is by default a slave of sin. That sin has them bound, has them broken, has them held in bondage. They are a slave of sin. So I think it's very important for this text for us to understand that Jesus here isn't necessarily talking about, the little vices that you might have, or like the little things you do here and there, but rather he's talking about the overarching spirit of sin that has plagued humanity ever since the Garden of Eden. And that is what causes us to do each little individual act. And so Jesus, he addresses the problem here. He says, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. For our purposes, everyone's a slave of sin. Me, Bob, Sawyer, everybody here is a slave to sin. I didn't pick you for any reason, Bob, You're in the front row, and so you're checking the front row, so he's kind of there. Yeah. So everyone's a slave to sin. So what kind of issue does this bring up? Let's dive into verse 35 here. Jesus says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a part of the family forever. So Jesus, he kind of sets up, well, who is a slave to sin? It would be us. But he sets us up with this interesting dichotomy in verse 35. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is a member of the family forever. Slave is not a permanent member of the family. So a slave will go away eventually. A slave gets to experience God's goodness for a little portion of time, but will eventually not. You know what I'm saying? Eventually a slave would have been sold away. Eventually a slave would have gone away. The slave did not have the same right as the son. The slave did not get to experience the goodness of the master like a son did. The son was in the father's house. If you remember the story of the prodigal son, said, oh, I'll go back to my father's house just to be a servant, just to be a slave. Maybe I'll have some rights then. But he knew he did not have the same rights as a son. Now, what does the father do? Of course, he brings the son in as back as what he was before, as a son. He says, you're my son. But for our purposes today, we understand that there's a differentiation between being a slave and being a son. That's extremely important for down the line here in a little bit. Sons or daughters. Let me back that up a little bit. Every time I say sons, I mean daughters. It's just easier to say because I'm not like sexist or anything like that. It's easier just because that's what the text says and just bam. But sons and daughters. If we're going to be sons and daughters of God, what does that mean for us? It means eternal life with the Father of all creation, the one who created everything. If you are a son or a daughter, for as long as you live, you will be a son or a daughter of your father and mother, in this case, father. For as long as you live, you will be a son or a daughter of your father. And that's what it is with God, our Father. For those that are in Christ Jesus, we are his sons and daughters forever. A son is a part of the family forever. Jesus makes that distinction there. I really want to dive into this idea of this either you're in here or you're in here kind of picture that Jesus paints for us. It's to me, it's like a coin. A coin, in my knowledge, a coin has never landed on the edge in the history of the universe. It always lands on heads or tails, you know what I'm saying? And so Jesus sets up this dichotomy. You're either a slave or you're a son. You're either a slave to sin or you're a son of the living God. There's not an in-between. So if you are a son and daughter of the living God, you're no longer a slave to sin. You've been set free from that sin. So on that note, let's go ahead and dive into verse 36. Jesus says, so if the Son of God, sets you free, you are truly free indeed. Guys, we've got to get this into our spirit. We've got to get this into our head that if we are going to call ourselves sons and daughters of God, we cannot be slaves to sin any longer. The reason that Jesus came to die on the cross is because sin was bad, but God is good. And if sin is bad, then why, after we proclaim that we are sons and daughters of God, do we continue to live in it? Why do we continue to live in that sin if we know it's bad? We know it's contrary to what God has for us. We know it's bad, so why do we continue to put ourselves in that? One of the greatest analogies I've ever heard of the cross is this, is that on the cross, Jesus, taking on the cosmic powers of sin and death of the world, destroys it, 3 days later, rises from the dead. And what that means for you and I is that those chains, that we are slaves to sin, sin holds us back from being all that God has for us. But on that cross, Jesus breaks those chains, sets them free. But for some reason, we go back and we say, no, I want my chains back on me. I want my chains back on me. I don't want to live a life of without sin, God. I don't want you. We do that. We do that in our lives. God set us free, but we don't walk in that freedom. Now, what are you saying here, Walker? Are you saying I need to be perfect? Are you saying I need to live a life that's perfect? No. Because you won't. All of sin and fall short of the glory of God, and that will be a truth until the day that Jesus comes back to restore everything in his good creation. That will be a truth that we will all fall short. But there is a difference, there is a distinction between living in sin and sinning. There's a difference between messing up and continuing to mess up. There's a difference between making a sin a one-time thing and then making it a habit. As Christians, we believe that when Jesus died, that he rose again, he ascended into heaven. Before he ascended into heaven, he said, I will send you the Comforter. I will send you the Holy Spirit. Well, why did Jesus say? Jesus said, it's better I send the Holy Spirit. It's better that I send the Holy Spirit in my place. Well, there's many reasons for that. That's another sermon for another day. But the reason, one of the main reasons, is to give you power to live a Christ-like life. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, that God, by his power, has given you everything you need to take part in the divine nature of Christ. And so, what does that mean for us? That means that by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given us the ability to live in the divine nature of Christ. The Holy Spirit, Paul calls it that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, God's presence here on earth, comes and takes residence inside of us. It gives us the power to no longer live in the same cycle that caused Jesus to come to earth in the first place. That same cycle that Jesus said, I'm going to enter into that. I'm going to enter into that and save them from that. We no longer have to live in that. Why? Because we're saved. What do we even mean when we say that we're saved? When we say, oh, somebody got saved, what do we even mean? You know what I mean? It's to me, every time somebody, I'm saved from sin. I'm saved from the consequences from sin. But I'm also saved from the fact I don't have to live in sin anymore. I'm saved from living in sin now. You see, anyone outside of Christ has to live in sin. Whether they know it or not, they have to. Why? Jesus said in verse 34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. They're slaves to sin. They have to obey that. The slave has to obey its master. If sin is the master, then people outside of Christ have to obey it. But for too long, the church, who claims to be in Christ, has still been slaves to sin. And that's why I said in the beginning, you can still be saved, but you aren't free. And that is the distinction I want to make this morning. That is the question. That's the question on my sermon title I want to ask you this morning. Are you free? I'm not asking you, did you, prayer ones. I'm not asking you, I'm not even asking you if you're a Christian. I'm asking you, are you free? Are you free from the bondages of sin and shame? I will say this, it's not anything you can do, just ask. And it's not anything, if this is you this morning, if this is you, you realize that you aren't free, that you live your life in a way that is habitually sinning, that it is living in sin. God wants to free us of that. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Well, that poses a question. Does the Son want to set us free? Yes, he does. God is not willing that any should perish of that. All should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. And so Jesus, the Son of the living God, who sent his precious Holy Spirit to come live, rule, and reign on this earth, and each Christian wants each person to be free. Because sin is not how God intended things in the first place. Sin is not what God desires, obviously. And so what does he want for his people? He doesn't want us to live in sin anymore, guys. He wants us to live in righteousness, to stand up for holiness, to stand up for what is good and right and godly, to live a life of godliness. But he doesn't hang us out to dry. Like I said earlier, he's given us the power. He's given us his Holy Spirit to give us strength, to give us godliness, to give us that power. It's God not watching from far off, but rather, the New Testament would put it like this, that God is co-laboring through us, that God is working with us. I get the image in my mind of like a gardener, you know? It's not like God is you know, the head of the kingdom, and he's just sitting far off, you know, you need to dig that garden. You need to do it. I'm just going to stand here and do nothing, but you need to go dig that garden. He's saying, I'm going to be right next to you. We're going to be digging this garden together. We're co-laboring together. I'm going to be with you right through this whole thing. That's why Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us, is because God came to earth and became one with us. And so this process of not living in sin anymore is not just you trying your hardest, oh, I'm not going to live in sin anymore. No, it's, God, I need you every single day. I need you. Holy Spirit, enable me, empower me. Give me the strength to do your will and to not live in opposite of what God has for us. So let me ask you this. Are you free? If you're in Christ, then yes, I am free. It's something to be extremely excited about because you no longer have to live in the cycle that has brought humanity, depression, sadness, murder, grief, all these things for so many decades and millennia. That's why our world's gone to hell in a handbasket, guys. It's because of sin. Natural disasters, sin. Murders on the street, sin. The political split in our country right now, sin. The divisiveness is sin. But what does God bring? God brings healing. God brings unity. God brings restoration. And that's what we are to be people of. But we can't do that, guys. We can't be people of healing, restoration, and unity with sin in our life. We can't be that with that baggage left on us. And so, as the writers of Hebrew would say, throw off every weight that entangles you, and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Throw off everything that entangles you. I'm not saying you won't mess up, guys, because you will. Every single day of my life. I've been on this earth for 19 years, and I've learned that. And I'm sure some of you guys that are older can testify. Every single day of your life, you probably will mess up. But it's not a matter of not messing up. It's a matter of realizing when you mess up, hey, I'm not going to do that next time. And God's going to help me not do that next time. And I think if we do that, guys, we will see our world changed for the kingdom of Christ. You'll see our world change as men and women become the hands and feet of God that we are called to be. We're called to be his hands and feet. But the hands and feet can't walk if they're covered in chains. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this day. God, I pray that this word, God, that you laid on my heart, truly believe you laid on my heart, Lord, that this would sink down. God, I pray that anyone here that maybe just been, for lack of a better phrase, Lord, slacking off, Lord. They know you, they know about you, but God, they haven't let you set them free from their sin, Lord, from their gossip, from their hatred, Lord, from their unforgiveness, Lord, from their maybe their vices, Lord, their addictions, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus you would set us all free, Lord, so we can really be who you've called us to be, Lord, so we can be your hands and feet, Lord, so we can be who you've called us to be. In this town, Lord, so we can have an influence, so we can reach the lost people for you, Lord, so we can meet their needs and we can be Jesus to them, Lord. Help us, God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.